Welcome to the telephone press conference regarding H1 2016 AXA results. The floor now to Thomas Buberl, incoming CEO. Sir, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this telephone press conference to present AXA results for H1 2016. I will begin with page six of the document. This first half year was, of course, special for AXA since Henri de Castries announced his departure, and the new team that we represent this morning, Gérald and myself, is today in full swing. This has not prevented AXA from moving ahead over the past few months with new partnerships, such as you've seen with Jumia in Africa, Alibaba, and also via the announcement of our exit from tobacco, showing here that all the teams have remained quite active. We are presenting today solid, robust results. Robust in an environment with low interest rates, high volatility after the Brexit, of course, and the multiplication of natural disasters. Our underlying earnings reached 3.1 billion euros, stable versus last year, which, of course, is a high and strong performance because this is one of the highest underlying earning levels of our history. Our net results have grown by 4% at 3.2 billion euros. This growth is the reflection of the strength of our underlying earnings and also the sales of buildings in the U.S. Furthermore, our balance sheet is quite robust as well. You have seen that our Solvency II ratio is at 117% within our target range. The results of this first half year point to the group's strength, the relevance of our strategy that allows us to work in an unfavorable context and to display solid results. We have designed the plan based on prudential hypotheses and also by identifying specific growth levers. We are fundamentally convinced that this is the right strategy for success. I will now turn to page seven. Our strategy is to focus on the business lines that show strong growth perspectives and high profitability levels for the group via the presentation of products that correspond to the protection needs of our clients. During the first half year 2016, this translates into different areas, such as new business margin and new business sales in life and savings and health, and a growth in our property and casualty area of close to 4% with a combined ratio that is at a satisfactory level in view of the number of claims managed during the first half year. Also, very strongly positive net inflow as regards asset management, which in itself is a robust performance, particularly in this high volatility context. This, of course, points to the quality of our management and advice of our two asset managers, AXA IM and AllianceBernstein. I will now go on to page eight. As I was saying, the robustness of our balance sheet is once again demonstrated in this very high volatility context. We here have a strong solvency ratio at 197% despite this difficult context. This certainly is well targeted according to our initial prospects. On the right-hand side of this slide, you can see how this ratio could evolve in view of strong variations on our markets. You can see that our solvency remains high. Of course, we have seen very large scope in growth. This is prone to sensitivity because we saw at the time of the Brexit that AXA was strongly impacted. While Brexit was not good news for the British or European economies, these numbers do point to AXA's solidity versus such adverse scenarios. Now, page nine of this presentation. We launched our new strategic plan on June 20th based on two specific pillars. The first is focus, which consists in pursuing and amplifying the projects that were launched within the framework of our preceding plan, Ambition AXA, to grow in a low interest rate environment. We have chosen to focus our efforts on the development of some business lines, such as P&C, corporate P&C insurance, and also less capital intensive and protection and health. Efficiency is also a prerequisite for our performance. We are going to undertake new savings efforts to the tune of 2.1 billion euros until 2020. While we pursue our investments, we will also improve our margins and will benefit from the growing impact of big and smart data projects. These different strategic choices should allow us to grow while we offset the impact of low interest rates. The second pillar is to transform. This is dedicated to how we will transform to prepare the future and to better meet the new needs of our customers that today have changed. Our ambition is to become a genuine protection partner for our clients to help them face the risks that they face. We are here to reinvent our product offer in terms of insurance and protection in the widest sense of the term via innovation and also prevention. With this in mind, we will, of course, set the necessary means to achieve our ambition. We've decided to dedicate a budget of 3 billion euros to this transformation project over the next 5 years. The engagement and energy of our staff members here are essential to the success of our transformation, and it is very important that we stand by their side at every step of the way. This is why we, of course, here will enrich their skills, particularly in the field of data, digital, and customer relations. Ambition 2020 for us is clearly to deliver annual growth of our UEPS between 3% and 7% on average, despite an unfavorable context, and as in this way, transform AXA for our clients. I will now turn to page 10. To achieve the objectives of Ambition 2020 as regards growth, and despite the downward macroeconomic context here, we have several levers of growth available to us that I have mentioned in part: improved efficiency and improved technical margins, organic growth, and mergers and acquisitions. In all these different components are there to offset the negative impact of low interest rates, to reach an average growth rate as regards our underlying earnings at between 3% and 7% on average as a function of these prudential assumptions. It is because our strategic plan was constructed on the basis of very prudential macroeconomic assumptions that clearly differentiate between what was market dependent and what is in fact within our reach. So we can now confidently confirm the objectives of our Ambition 2020 plan. Page 11. Here we see the four major financial objectives that we have presented. I have already mentioned the growth in our underlying earnings per share and the Solvency II ratio. We are also working on generating between 28 and 32 billion euros in cash flow and adjusted return on equity between 12 and 14% between 2016 and 2020. I will now give the floor to Gérald Arlan, who will go into more details as regards these results. Good morning, all. I will begin by sharing page 13 some numbers, which gives us a concrete idea of our protection business. In protection and health, for the first half of 2016, we have paid out in benefits to protection and health customers worldwide a total of 6 billion euros. Also, in P&C, the compensation paid out reached 6 billion euros, and for our individual clients, and 4 billion for our corporate clients. We have covered 2.2 million customers covered by the AXA assistance in case of car breakdown. I will now share the main figures as regards savings and life savings and health. So we can see here contrasted performances in protection and health. Of course, we can see a 6% increase, and also we can see the improvement of sales in Belgium and Spain. This, of course, represents 40% of all of our sales, in line with our strategy. Unit-linked, we can see sales down by 18% due to particularly unfavorable market conditions that have impacted the Mediterranean region sales, Latin American sales, and also in Europe, and exceptional contracts in Hong Kong. Of course, this represents 40% of our savings sales. Now, we can see a growth of 22% in our savings, and also the general funds that do not consume in much capital. Here we can see that we have a center in Germany that is guaranteed to have a very interesting ROI aligned with its initial investment. I would like to furthermore underscore that the sales on this market are growing by 11%. Globally speaking, net inflow is positive at 4.3 billion euros over the first 6 months of the year, which is an interesting level in view of the market conditions that are above 1 billion in France. And the new business margin remains stable at plus 37%. Page 16, we have decided here to focus more particularly on the healthcare business line that we intend to develop. According to the countries, this activity is carried over to our savings and pension business line. And here we have significant growth in six markets, as you can see here on screen. And we intend to develop in five targeted geographies, China, the Gulf, Indonesia, Malaysia, and Thailand. Here, gross revenues have grown by 3% for the first half year and point to high profitability with a combined ratio at 95.5%. Now, here we can also see the underlying earnings in life savings, retirement and health. The spread prior to taxation demonstrate the priority markets such as protection, healthcare, and unit-linked represent 50% for protection and health and 28% in unit-linked. The underlying earnings net tax have increased by 4%. Our asset yield in the investment portfolio is at 3.4%. I will now suggest that we go on to page 19 for our P&C results. Of course, our revenue have increased to the tune of 4%, which expresses a very dynamic approach on mature markets as well as on emerging markets that have grown by 11%. The direct business line also shows strong growth at plus 6% with high range evolutions in Japan, Europe, and UK, with a growth of plus 4% in total in Belgium. Let us now turn to page 20 and the combined ratio, and this, of course, is the main indicator as regards the evolution in P&C, covering, of course, asset costs, asset management costs. Now, here we can see the measure of the performance over the first half year without taking into account the reserves of preceding years. And, of course, we can see a growth to 98.8% in the asset yield. So, of course, the increase in the cost of natural disasters, floods in France, and storms in Germany, but also terrorist attacks in Belgium. The combined ratio here, all financial years combined, is now at 96%, which remains a satisfactory level for the group. Our underlying earnings have dropped by 6%, and here, again, this is the result of the increase in a global, in the number of global claims managed over the first half year. And also the natural disaster aspect has had a strong impact on P&C. Our yield, therefore, is at 3.5%. Let us now look at page 22, our asset management activity. We have a positive inflow, circa 19 billion euros, but also very strong impact from a favorable market. And also the position of the euro versus other currencies has not been favorable to us. And we can here see the partial withdrawal of some of our partners. Here on the right-hand side, you can see that assets under management lead us to a number, a figure of 1,397 million euros. So also here we see AXA IM with a net inflow, particularly powered by Asia through our JV. And also presenting a positive inflow in such a volatile market, particularly during the second half year. And here this is essentially tied to the drop in the revenue of our managers in due to the commissions on the average commission drops in asset management in general. Here we can see on page 25 the underlying earnings in life and savings and health business line. The underlying earnings pre-tax, 38% property and casualty and international insurance, 36% in savings and asset management, 26% protection and health. And, of course, this now is should be underlined as being a high and strong performance in view of the fact that these numbers have been maintained during H1 2016. We have a strong balance between property casualty and goods and individual, and also savings and asset management activities. So you can see here the spread of the pie. Page 26, we are presenting our adjusted earnings and our net income. Now, the adjusted earnings is close to 3.364 billion. And here our net income has grown by 4% at 3 billion euros, supported by a high adjusted earning level. And of course, we here have exited from our savings and retirement activity in the UK, and also some of our assets have been commercialized. Now, page 27, with the balance sheet indicators. On June 30th, our shareholders' equity reaches 74.1 billion euros in view of unrealized capital gains on fixed income assets and net income contribution. As Thomas said, Solvency II ratio is high at 197%, a drop of 8 points versus the end of 2015 associated with adverse financial market conditions. But as Thomas said, this remains very firmly rooted within our target range between 26 and 28%. Finally, our debt gearing was here between 26 and 28%, up 2 points due to 2 billion euros in debt issued to refinance in advance part of our outstanding debt. This certainly does not challenge our prudential management. Our balance sheet remains, therefore, quite solid. On page 28, we are presenting here our asset allocation according to our balance sheet listed at their market value on June 30th. And we can see 598 billion euros with strong continuity in their allocation. Our policy is guided by the objective of aligning our assets and liabilities, i.e. as regards our engagements towards our clients, which is why we have 83% of rate-based products. I would like to indicate here that the average level is in double A and that of corporate bonds in A. Before I return the floor to Thomas, I would like to share a few additional words on some painful experiences in due to the low interest rate context. So here within our specific assets, the yield in P&C is at 3.4%. And the average yield of bond reinvestments representing 45 billion is at 2%. I would like to remind you of the fact that our strategic plan Ambition 20 was built on prudential assumptions, and particularly as regards low interest rate markets. So we are quite prepared to face this market. The floor back to Thomas. Thank you, Gerald. To conclude this presentation, I would like to turn to page 31. I would like to once again underscore that these strong results were reached in a low interest rate market, and that we can here make use of a very important weapon, which is a highly diversified composite range, and also strong cash flows to support dividends in order to allow us to continue our smooth sailing in this difficult environment. Also, our investment is to pursue and accelerate the group's transformation with the new management team and with all of our teams worldwide. I would like to thank you for your attention, and Gerald and myself are at your disposal to answer any question you may have. We are also joined by three other members of the management committee: Véronique Weill, in charge of asset, Gaël Olivier, in terms of global P&C, and Jacques de Peretti, in charge of AXA France activities. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please hit one on your telephone pad.
Press zero one on your telephone keypad. So we have a first question from Oliver Zest from Bloomberg. Please go ahead, sir.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. One question would be on, and I'm sorry if it's a bit of a repetition or stupid question, as I'm not following AXA that closely normally. The first one would be a lot of, or your new profit targets are based on earnings per share figures. Does that also mean that a share buyback is becoming more likely? How are you looking at share buybacks compared to dividends in generally as a form of payout of excess capital? And then how does the budget for major claims look like after the first half? Is there still a lot of budget left? And generally, how is your view of the life insurance business in Europe and in markets such as Germany? Is there a lot of adjustments needed going forward? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Oliver, for these very good questions. I suggest that the first one on share buyback is being answered by Gérald Alain, the second one on the major claims by Gaël Olivier, and I would take the third one on life insurance in Europe. Gérald.
So, as far as the share buybacks are concerned, and when we presented our Solvency II strategy and figures at the end of December, what we said is that what we plan to do is to offset through share buyback the dilutive effects of share plan or of the exercise of the stock option. So that means that we don't plan to go beyond what we said at that time. I remember at the same time that when we presented our new strategy, we said at that time that we would use our cash in order to pay dividend, the dividend being between 45 and 55% of adjusted earnings. I remind you that for the time being, last year we paid 47%, and that at the same time we plan to have a level of M&A and acquisition of 1 billion on average per year.
Thanks, Gerald. Let's pass on to Gaël for the question around major claims.
Thank you, Thomas. I would like to maybe highlight that the first semester has experienced a normal claims development, except for the natural catastrophes, which were more exceptional, with specific floods in Europe or terrorist attacks in Belgium. If you exclude those exceptional items, the claims development is in line with the usual running of the business and in line with the prior years and the budget. So we expect in the second half to have a claims development continuing on the same trend, meaning reasonable claims development. The only item which is not in our hands would be additional natural catastrophes and terrorist attacks, which are obviously items which are less easy to predict and more exceptional by nature. the usual course of the development is solid, and you can see that from the price increase that we have been able to develop over the first semester, which is a 4.9% price increase versus the prior year, which is a solid underlying development for the premium development and therefore for the claims. So claims development should be in line with budget for the second semester.
Thank you, Gael. And I would take the third question on life insurance in Europe. We have today a situation in life insurance that, on the one hand, the demand for retirement savings and for protection has not decreased because consumers are still looking for these solutions. But on the other hand, we see that the interest rate is very low, particularly in Europe. The insurance industry needs to find new answers to that, and those answers are not at the extremes being a full guarantee with no upside or full upside with no guarantee. And you have seen in the numbers that Gerald has presented that's exactly what we see in the figures, that the market is moving towards a middle solution, which is guarantee with upside. So we are focusing our future on this middle. How can we develop solutions that have a guarantee or partial guarantee, but at the same time where the customer can benefit from the upside in the market? And if you compare us relative to the competition, we have started this journey very early, and today our business mix is already very favorable towards these products that respond, on the one hand, much better to the customer needs in this difficult environment, and at the same time are also very beneficial from a Solvency II perspective. And so we have to change our business model further in that direction.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you that in order to ask questions, you need to hit key 1 on your telephone pad.
Ladies and gentlemen, you need to press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you.
Nous avons une question de Juliana Licini de Agence de presse ViaDeCor. Madame,
Juliana
c'est à vous.
Licini, ViaDeCor, press agency. Good morning. I have a specifically Italian banking question regarding the Banca Montepaschi. Has your interest evolved, and will AXA pursue the increase of capital announced by the bank? And also, what is the opinion of AXA regarding the plan that was announced? And more generally, the evolution of business of insurance companies in Italy. What is your opinion? Thank you, Juliana, for this question. I would now give the floor to Gerald to answer both questions. Yes, good morning. First of all, I would like to say that our activity in life insurance is operated in partnership with the MPS Bank. This particular business line, of course, has grown over the years, and we sell unit-linked products, and this is the main reason which explains a drop this year. As regards our restructuring plan, there are many, many details that still need to be honed, and we have had some information, but everything has not yet been decided forever. We're still working on the issue. As regards Atlant II, may I remind you that as a partnership of the MPS Bank, we have, of course, participated in capital increases in the past, which means that our role is one of the shareholder of MPS. And, of course, in over these past few years, I think we have paid some 300 million But it is not our intention, on the other hand, to pay that in, and we have not paid into the Atlanta Fund because we are shareholders of the bank, and we have quite largely participated in restoring its solidity. So you have not yet decided whether you would partake in the capital increase. Is that it? I told you, today there is no offer on the table as regards capital increase. We have not had any details as regards this increase in capital, and this is at the level of our principles. So as far as our principles are concerned, of course, we are in agreement with this particular plan, but we're waiting for the more practical information that we still do not have. Are you still at 3.7 interest? Yes, absolutely. You're absolutely right. We do own 3.7%, 0.5% in mutual funds, and the rest at the level of AXA. You are absolutely right. Thank you very much. We have a question from Chiara Ranca from ANSA. Thank you, but in fact, my colleague has asked the question I wanted to ask. Thank you very much, and I'll leave the floor to someone else. We have a question from Mathieu Protard from Reuters. Yes, good morning. I have two questions. The first involves your stock price, and visibly the results did not convince the market. How can you explain that the market seems to have sanctioned your stock price to a certain level? And also, since the beginning of the year, a drop that accelerated due to Brexit. I have a question on terrorist attacks. Do you think that after what happened in Nice, France should perhaps revise its victim compensation mechanism? Thank you for both of these questions. I suggest that as regards the stock price should be answered by Gérald, and the second one on Nice and its consequences will be covered by Jacques de Peretti, who is in charge of AXA France. Gérald. Yes, as regards your first question on our stock price, you have been able to see that all insurance companies have suffered from this low interest rate context. We were at 25 euros on December 31st. Our position today has dropped slightly. Brexit, of course, has had an impact because the market considers that in a low interest rate environment, there is a comparison of insurers and bankers with financial institutions, which is a mistake because we are exposed to completely different risks as financial institutions, but this is totally different for insurers and bankers. At the end of June, as Thomas was recalling earlier on, even in an environment where the rates would remain at the current level, we should nonetheless see a growth in our earnings per share between 3 and 7%, and 3% if these interest rates remained at the same level. So this demonstrates the resilience of our model. Why is it resilient? Well, first of all, because we have a strong matching between assets and liabilities. We have also mentioned yield of 3.5% on our P&C line. When we said that we have a margin in life of 74 basis points, obviously this is demonstrated by a healthy management of assets and liabilities over the long term, which means that we can face a drop in interest rates. You have also, I am sure, seen that over the past few years and way before our competitors have designed a policy where we are growing our protection and prevention activities and health care, which are much less sensitive than savings, particularly based on like capital or on unit linked. And in this case, we have preferred exiting from these assets, and this goes in the right direction. Also, we have indicated that we can reach an earning per share between 3 and 7%, 3% if interest rates remain low, and this, of course, is linked to our cost control policy. And we have, of course, here dropped our overheads by 2 billion and 1.2 billion euros, and, of course, the market has reacted this week, for example, to the stress test of the banks, but we are quite aware of the fact that the stock price will return to its initial levels. Thank you. The next question on Nice and consequences. Jacques.
Yes.
As regards what happened in Nice, the public authorities implemented 20 years ago a warranty fund to compensate victims of terrorist attacks. This is further completed by a tax that is levied in all of our P&C contracts, and these, of course, are dedicated to the terrorist attacks perpetrated on our territory. So this fund is today in a situation where we need to review how it is funded, which is something that we worked on this spring to make sure that our resources are on a par with our expenses. This is also evolving to provide victims and the families of these victims quality service with the necessary form of support. And today, the profession and public authorities are working closely together to, on the one hand, ensure that the capital available in this fund corresponds to the needs of our clients and of the victims, and therefore offer services that will respond to the expectations of the families and the wounded due to these terrorist attacks. As regards AXA, more clearly, it is clear that after the event in Nice, we have, of course, involved more of our staff members with a dedicated telephone number that was opened immediately, and our capacity to provide psychological support. We have had several dozen calls in the first hours following the event, and we have been able to comfort our clients in this terrible situation. Thank you. We have a question from Marco. Yes, good morning. I would like to ask a question on MPS, and I would also like to repeat the question I sent in by Internet. Are you by any chance envisaging to increase your interest in Monte Paschi and to play a more active role in the bank? Well, thank you so much for this question. It is an easy response. We are today at 3.7% in the interest we have taken out, and we are not planning to change it. Thank you very much.
Alexa Biordio from Dow Jones. Please go ahead.
My question was answered. Thank you.
Okay. We now have a follow-up question from Oliver Thus. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. I took a look at the December slides on share buybacks and how you're going to spend excess capital by now. So just a quick follow-up question. That means a share buyback at a Solvency II ratio of 197%, so quite below your higher target range of 230, is rather unlikely to be announced this year. And the second question, Allianz has hired a new CEO for PIMCO, who is coming with the expectation that he might do some M&A for them in asset management. How is your M&A appetite in asset management? Thank you. Merci.
Thank you for the two follow-up questions. The first one is taken by Gérald, and the second one I'll do.
Yes, so the as you perfectly clearly said, we with a solvency ratio at 197, we are well within the 170 to 230 band. So that means that we might have some fluctuation within it, and we clearly said that we would review. We have a dividend policy, as I said, and if you follow my previous answer, we have a dividend policy with some flexibility. We are in the low end of the range of 45 to 55% of adjusted earnings, so that means that we have flexibility within this range. So that's mostly it.
Thank you, Gérald. The second question on asset management I'll give to Véronique Weil, who is the CEO of the asset management business.
Good morning, everybody. I think that when we look at the asset management portfolio, we're very comfortable with the two asset managers that we have, AXA Investment Managers on one side and Allianz Bernstein on the other side. When you look at deals and potential big deals on the market, there is always a question of integration coming from culture, but also from investment strategy. So we don't believe that this is something that we would do in the near future. And we believe we have a clear strategy. We want to continue to grow in the retail and in alternative assets. And I believe that now it's all about execution.
Nous avons une question de Laurent Thévenin des Échos.
We have a question by Laurent Thévenin, Les Échos. Yes, good morning. Hello. After the terrorist attack in Nice and the potential reforms of AGT, what trails have you decided to open? Could this involve a new increase in the tax? Also, on terrorist attacks in Belgium this time, I would like to know what the cost was for AXA and how many victims have you compensated. Also, can you give us some numbers as regards the sales in New York? And the accounting under face value of these assets. Thank you. Now, as regards Nice, I'm going to return the floor to Jacques de Peretti as regards the attack costs. That's easy. In Brussels, these costs were at 24 million euros. Jacques. Yes, as regards terrorism in France, until now, terrorist attacks were quite modest as regarded their costs, and this was good as regards the warranty fund, under 10 million per year. Today it is clear over the last 18 months, several hundred million euros are now required. How is this fund allocated the necessary budget? Initially, this was a very limited tax. Today, our contribution is at 4.3 million euros per contract and per year. And this contribution is quite insufficient to face up to the recurring terrorist acts. We are working with the public authorities to And the profession is strongly engaged in this area. We're working with the public authorities, therefore, to see how we can face up to this new need for funding, probably via the increase in the tax and perhaps via other contributions that the government may make available. So we are working on this, and the capacity of the Warranty Fund to face up to its mission is not in question here. We will just need to increase funding. That's all. Thank you. Thank you, Jack. And as regards the sales of buildings in New York, Gérald again, we have here a realized capital gains of several billion euros. And we have also, you know, that we have divested some of our activities in the UK. We, of course, have divested from our life activity in the UK. And we have also made a small capital gain with the divestment in Portugal. So you can see in our documentation package that we have 626 million euros that correspond to these net capital gains in the aftermath of the sales of buildings and asset management. You've asked a question on mark-to-market. We can indeed deplore that accounting principles lead to an inconsistency. This is what I said earlier on. Our business is to match assets and liabilities, and this is why I was saying earlier on this should satisfy our clients. But, of course, the issue is that when you manage 500 billion euros, you need to use derivatives to be able to match our bonds portfolios. And, unfortunately, when the bonds portfolios have a mark-to-market that is based on the net situation, the derivatives that stem from this, of course, impact the net results. And this is exactly what is happening. This is true for rate-based products and also the Tier 1 debts are considered a shareholder's equity. And, of course, we have debts that are in different currencies. And, unfortunately, these currencies are also based on the mark-to-market principle. Then we have equity funds and, therefore, stock management. And they are also under the mark-to-market principle. So in view of the market conditions, the drop in equity levels and exchange rate, this is why we have minus 147 million in fair value. So this is not a realized loss. It is just a mark-to-market that can turn around tomorrow and restore positivity. I hope I was clear. Thank you very much. We have no further questions, ladies and gentlemen. Excellent. Thank you all for your participation and also for your questions. And thanks again to my colleagues. Wishing you a wonderful summer and a happy holiday. Thank you very much.